Are you 50 plus, stuck in the 9-to-5 world, and looking for something more fulfilling? Maybe you're already retired and are seeking a new purpose in life. Have you thought about starting your own business? Welcome to Silver Linings with your host, Karen George, here on Inspired News Radio. During each show, Karen will talk with fascinating people who have started new businesses after the age of 50. You'll hear their stories, find out what prompted them to start their businesses, and hopefully take away some nuggets of wisdom that will assist you in the search for your own silver linings. And now, the host of Silver Linings, Karen George.
Hi everyone, I'm Karen. Welcome to this week's episode of Silver Linings. I'm really excited about today's episode because I'm interviewing my very first international guest all the way from Ottawa, Ontario in Canada. Please welcome Gaylene Green. Gaylene is an incredibly talented designer and seamstress, and I can't wait to learn all about her company, Designs by Gaylene. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
If you could start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
A little bit about myself. I'm currently running a business called Designs by Gaylene. I'm a seamstress, costumer, haberdasher, milliner, and I do some jewelry as well. So I just basically make anything that's costume related. I started off sewing when I was very, very small. I've always had a needle and thread in my hand, and I've sewn all my life. It's always been a thing, and I've always had it as a bit of a sideline to other things I was doing. And it's became a full-time business about 6 or 7 years ago. And I say 6 or 7 because it was kind of a blend from one thing into another. Yeah.
Would you tell me an interesting story about when you were growing up and about being in, was it home economics?
Yes, home economics class in grade 7 and 8. Way back in the day when we were in grade 7 and 8, the girls had to take home ec and the boys took shop. And home ec was included a lot of sewing. And when I was taking that class, a lot of my classmates, a lot of the girls just couldn't get the knack of sewing, no matter how hard they tried. So after school, they would bring me their fabric and everything for their projects, and I would do their sewing for them, and they would pay me to sew their projects for school.
So great. What a great story. And so the teacher never suspected?
I suspect that she did suspect, because she knew these girls couldn't handle the machines at all, and then they'd turn in these absolutely perfect skirts. And I know that one girl, she was accused of having had her mother sew it for her.
Ah.
She said, "Well, you call my mother. My mother didn't sew it for me. You talk to my mother."
Well, she had an alibi that way.
Yes, she did.
And then as you grew up, when did you start making your own clothes?
Oh, I started making clothes for myself when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started actually sewing for other people when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always made my own clothes. Always, always. In fact, all through high school, 95% of everything I wore, I made. All through high school, my 20s, into my 30s. In my 40s. Yeah, I've pretty much always sewn for myself. I don't sew as much for myself now because it's my full-time job.
Right.
As you know, the shoemaker's children go barefoot. So.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember when I was growing up, my mother and my grandmother sewed my clothes. And I know my mother would use patterns because I would see her laying them out and everything. Mm-hmm. Did you use patterns or did you just made it up as you went along, or?
when I first started sewing, I was using patterns. And then as I learned how clothing was constructed, I realized I didn't really need the patterns. I started using the patterns, but adjusting them and changing them. And then I realized that that was more time consuming than if I just designed it myself. So when I was in my late teens, I took a course in pattern layout and design. What I mostly do now is make my own patterns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So with my clients, I'll make what I call the body pattern or body form, where I will take their measurements and make a cotton pattern that fits their body exactly with a zipper in it so they can get in and out of it. And that's what I work from.
Neat.
It's like having my client here. I don't need her here all the time or him here all the time for fittings. I've got that body pattern and that I use as a basis for building patterns for the actual clothing. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when you're making clothing, it has to have ease in it. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's ease of wear. It's wearing ease, so that it's a little larger here, a little larger there, so that you can move your arms and breathe.
Right. Yeah. The important stuff.
Yeah. And so when you make a pattern, you don't make it exactly to fit. You have to add ease and it's a different amount of ease in different parts of the garment and everything to make it fit and wear easily. Yeah.
I remember my father talking about my mother sewing and that you could tell that she had made a particular garment. So do you think that's true, that you can tell a person's style?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because like I say, people always thought I dressed weird because I would make clothes that I liked, that I was happy with. And I found that I was often ahead of the fashion curve.
Really?
I remember often, and it still happens, I get an idea in my head of what I want, but I can't find the exact fabric I want for it because it hasn't been made yet. And then I'll be watching, you know, Fashion Week or something like that, and see all this. I go, there, that's the fabric I needed for my thing. Or, hey, I've already designed that outfit. So, I've always looked different from other people. And when I was working, I did 22 years working in engineering departments, and the engineers just thought I was way over the top. They couldn't believe the weird clothes I would wear. Why do you wear these weird clothes all the time? I said, these are just my clothes. They're not weird. Because they're engineers, right? They're at work, they're in jeans and t-shirts 90% of the time. And every once in a while, they'll put on a pair of twill pants and a button-up shirt. So
when the big wigs come in.
And then there's me. When the big wigs come in, as you say, I would put on one of my more dressy silk outfits or something. Wow. I love silk. I would wear nothing but silk if I could afford to.
Wow. I actually very much consider what you do as a visual art. I just have a weakness for performing in visual artists. And so definitely that's an art.
Oh, I would say that too. My high school education is actually in commercial and fine arts. I was in a specialized arts program, and I've taken all sorts of different arts courses throughout my life. At one time I even worked for an art school as a model in order to pay my way through the classes I was taking. Mm-hmm. So I've always been an artist. I paint, I draw, I make things, and I consider myself more of a maker than anything else. And the sewing is one of my skills. Mm-hmm. It happens to be one of my top skills, but it's one of my skills along with all the other things that I do to make a costume.
And I think you were talking about that you have training in engineering, that really dovetails into what you do, being able to picture something and complete it. And a lot of people can't do that.
Well, a lot of people in engineering couldn't understand. They would say, you know, what are you doing with this stuff? This is all sheet metal and steel and iron and wiring and circuit boards. How do you relate that to your sewing with the soft fabrics and everything and art and everything? I say it's all about three-dimensional space and how you can visualize in three dimensions, uh-huh. and or even four or five dimensions, as some people would put it. You have to be able to really visualize something. And when I was doing the engineering design work, that visualizing in three dimensions and being able to use my head to see where I was going with a design made a lot of my designs very unique and very workable and very usable. I could squeeze an awful lot of electronics into a very tiny aluminum box.
Wow.
Just because I could see the whole thing spatially in three dimensions, uh-huh. in my head before I put it down on paper and eventually on computer when CAD became the, uh-huh. yeah.
That's just incredible. I think that's just amazing because I don't have that capacity. So I'm just in awe of people that can do that.
Oh, I am too. I see other people doing it and I look and I think, oh my God, there's another person like me and I want to latch on to them because they understand how it is that you can actually see how these things are going to all go together. Uh-huh. It's like you're the only person who speaks a certain language. And another person who speaks that language comes along and you just want to latch on to them right away. Yeah. Yeah. And when you get a bunch of artists in a room together, that's what they're like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us how your business, your present business, Designs by Gaylene, how that developed and what it is now, what has developed into its present state.
Oh. Well, Designs by Gaylene has been around for a long time by name. I started that up back in the mid to late 80s, after my previous business, which was a partnership with two other people, kind of fell apart. And I was the only one in the business. So I decided to make it my business. And because that was in electromechanical engineering technology, I was still doing sewing on the side. I was still doing wedding dresses and everything in the evenings and on weekends. So I had to, you know, I wanted to come up with a name that encompassed everything. So that's why I said Designs by Gaylene, because my mechanical design work, my electronic design work, my clothing design work, and any other artwork that I would do would all fall under that. So I had that company for a long time. It lived all the way through owning a bed and breakfast and everything. And then I let it drop in 2002, I just dropped the name, kind of let it fall, didn't keep the registration going. And then when I came back from my world travels that I had mentioned to you, when I came back, I decided I wanted something new. Well, my belly dance teacher she's also a seamstress. She just lives a couple of blocks from me, in fact. She was saying, you know, like everybody wants these weighted veils that you're using and dancing and making for yourself, but I don't know how to make them. You make them. Would you mind making them for other people? So I did. And I started a company to cover that. Called The Veiled Eye. Uh-huh. When the whole weighted veil fandom kind of fell off, you know, things come and go. It's like fashion.
Right.
I decided I would start to expand my business a little more. In fact, I had been at that point already doing a bunch of belly dance costumes and a few other things. And once people get to know, oh my gosh, there's another seamstress, they start asking you to do things for them. So I decided I was going to, the registration for the Veiled Eye was coming up for renewal. So I decided to just let it drop. And I re-registered Designs by Gaylen and started, you know, expanding what my business did. And
so this was after you turned 50, so you restarted Designs by Gaylen?
Yeah, I turned 50 when I was in New Zealand in 2004. So that everybody knows how to do math. I'm 65 now. I just turned 65 this year. So I started Designs by Gaylen, and I started The Veiled Eye after 50. Then I started Designs by Gaylen after 50. So I think I mentioned to you that it takes a certain kind of personality to start their own business, especially for women. It can be very scary because there's no promises when you start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, oh, have a 5-year plan, a 2-year plan, a 10-year plan, whatever. You can do all the planning you want, but we all know the old adage, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Right.
Right? Because you don't know what's going to, literally 5 minutes from now, right? We don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes, let alone 5 years. Nobody knows. So you can make all the plans you want and life is going to come along and do something. Flood your house, knock your house down, take all your money from you somehow, you know, like anything can happen. And so it takes a certain kind of personality and a certain kind of strength to just say, damn the torpedoes and full stream ahead. And that's, that's me. I'm stupid that way. I have no fear whatsoever.
I wouldn't call it stupidity.
Well, I don't know. I'm currently having physiotherapy on my knee because I was in a dance practice wearing the wrong shoes. That's stupidity.
Well, that's a different matter.
Yes.
So tell me all the different things that you design.
Oh, just about anything. My tagline is, bring me your dreams and I'll turn them to reality. So people bring all sorts of stuff to me. A lot of costumes, a lot of cosplayers. I think most cities have a huge cosplayer community now. Ottawa is particularly large community for its size, and it's very much wrapped around fandom. So I've done everything from spandex suits for middle-aged guys who want to dress up as Power Rangers.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, actually, because as I was doing research for our talk today, I looked all through your Facebook page, and I found what you were talking about. If anyone wants to look it up, it's the July 1st, 2018 post of what it's like Super Canadian or something like that. But it was bodysuit and the cape and the head thing, the hood mask. And oh my gosh, people, this is incredible.
The ultimate Canadian. Yeah. Yeah. And that's his second costume. The first costume he had designed in China for him, and it was a cheap piece of junk. And I tried fixing it for him, and the colors ran. So we had to do a whole new costume where we got really good fabric, and, you know, and I made the whole thing from scratch. So it was, yeah.
I was just blown away by that. It's just incredible. And then I've seen other things that in another post you mentioned that you created a dress from a photograph.
Yes. Yeah. I do a lot of that. Yeah. In fact, I'm working on stuff right now. I have one particular client who she's here every month with another costume piece that she wants. She's very much into steampunk. And she will bring me an idea. And then she'll go through a bunch of pictures online and say, I like this neckline and I like that sleeve and I like this skirt and I like the back poof on this bustle apron, but I don't like the front of it and I want, yeah. So it's all that, you know, and then I have to come up I have to kind of put it all together and make something. Oh,
so you can take parts from different,
mm-hmm.
different items of clothing and put it all together.
Whoa. Which is where a lot of my work comes from. People who say, I like this, but I don't like that, and I want this, and I can't find it, and all this. And they'll just come to me and say, can you put it all together for me and make that out, this outfit that I want?
Yeah. Wow, that is just incredible. I do want to tie it into our audience that is folks 50 plus who have either started their own business or maybe they're kind of on the fence or not sure, or they're still working for the typical job in the typical job and they maybe want to take the leap. So what do you know now that would have made your journey easier?
Oh, if 40 years ago I had realized that this is where I was going to end up, I would have started here. 40 years ago, everybody kept telling me, oh, you can't make money making clothes. Oh, you can't make money as a seamstress. Being a seamstress is not a real job. And so I thought I needed a real job. And I worked for the government for eight years, I think I worked for the government. I had to leave the government and get an education. And I got convinced by a teacher at the college to take the electromechanical engineering technology course. Because these were real jobs, these were real things. And all the time I was always sewing. I was always sewing all the time. I had a desire to do that. And it's not just clothing. I sew everything. Furniture, I reupholster furniture, for heaven's sake. So I would be doing all of this stuff on the side. And if I had known back then what I know now about being a seamstress and having my own business as a seamstress and everything, I would have started 40 years ago. Like, I'm sorry. If I have any regret in life, it's not doing this sooner.
So that should be a word to the wise to follow your dreams. And if there's something that you just love, you need to figure out how to make a living at it.
Exactly. I can't remember. One of those business gurus once said, find something you love doing and make it your job. Make that your work. Uh-huh. And you will never have to work another day in your life. Because every day will be going to the office or to the studio or whatever and doing the thing that you love the most, and people pay you to do it.
Right. That's like, the ideal.
This is ideal. So if I could say anything to anybody out there, if you're 50 years old and you're on the fence about where you're going next, you've been doing the same boring job for 30 years and you just can't take it anymore, make the leap. Jump, take an early retirement, whatever, and get yourself started in doing that thing that's all you've always considered just your hobby. Gotta hate that word, just. It's the worst word in the English language. It's just my hobby. It's just the thing I do on the side. It's just this little thing I enjoy. Stop calling it that and make it your business, because you know you've got half your life ahead of you. Statistically speaking, people who are 50 today will live to be somewhere between 80 and 110 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
When you think of that, you want to spend the next 50 years being unhappy with what you're doing day in and day out? You know, stop that. Stop hurting yourself. Stop being untrue to who you are.
Stop.
Yes, the big stop.
So if you could please tell us quickly, how can people learn more about you and your business? Where can they find you online?
My online presence is a little bit odd for my age group. Most people in my age group have a website and everything, but my website and my web presence is on Facebook currently.
Okay.
So on Facebook, I have a page called Designs by Gaylen, and that's where most of my stuff is. Occasionally I post to Instagram, but I kind of use it more for personal stuff rather than business stuff. That's pretty much it right now. Yeah. This is my Facebook page.
Well, we're about out of time, but Gaylen, thank you so much for being here today. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, thank you. It was really fun. I'm so glad that you invited me to come in and have a chat with you.
listening to Silver Linings on InspiredNewsRadio.com with your host, Karen George. Tune in regularly to hear more stories from people who have started businesses after age 50. Remember, it's never too late to find your silver linings.